All things are possible. Only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible. Now that you're here, Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible. Now that you're here.
And if we'd in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And reading from verse 1. Now, the Spirit, and whenever we find that the word "the" is used before Spirit, it speaks of the person, the Holy Spirit. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be confused, or nothing to be refused, but it is to be received with thanksgiving, for it is to be sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we come humbly and reverently before thy presence this evening, not wishing to say anything, Lord, that would cause pain or suffering within any of us, but Father, rather wishing to speak only that which you would have us to know, Lord. For we know that the hour it's a great hour that we live in. The devil is about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to get the people's focus away from the faith. And we're told that some shall depart from the faith. And we know there's only one faith because there's one Lord. And that's the faith of that Lord. And that's the revelation of Jesus Christ. For faith is a revelation. So Lord, we see that there's going to be a departure from the revelation. And that means that they're going to be focusing on other things. And then it says that all kinds of doctrines will come in, even just doctrines pertaining to food and things like that. So, Lord, we ask that you would help us and keep us, Lord, from entering into such. Help us to stay focused on thee and on the doctrine of Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, that scripture which I just read to you, some use it to fuss one way about a subject about eating meat or not. Others use it saying, well, it doesn't really pertain. But what is the truth on all this that's going on? Now, this evening, I'd like to, again, focus on the same paragraph we focused from on Sunday, which is paragraph number 47 of Brother Branham's sermon, The Spoken Word is the Original Seed. But rather, Sunday, we looked actually at the last half of the sentence more than the paragraph more than the first. So I'm going to read the whole thing again today. Now, it cannot be mixed and it cannot be hybrid with nothing else. It will not hybrid. Today is a great day of hybriding animals and corn and wheat and making a better looking product, but it's no good. It's rotten, no life in it. It dies. It can't reproduce itself. It's dead because everything that we have on earth today is in its original form is a spoken word of God. Now, Sunday, of course, we focused our thoughts on the last part of this paragraph where Brother Branham said everything we have on earth today is in its original form, is a spoken word of God. And we looked at the seed life and the original form showing the original life. But tonight I wish to focus our thoughts on this issue of hybridization that is he's mentioning here. So let me read once again this paragraph so that you can focus on down on these thoughts this evening. Notice he says, now, it cannot be mixed. It will not be hybrid with nothing else. It will not hybrid. Today is a great day of hybriding animals, corn, wheat, making a better looking product. But it's no good. It's rotten. There's no life in it. It dies. It can't reproduce itself. It's dead because everything that we have on earth today in its original form is a spoken word of God. Now this evening I would like to focus our thoughts on this subject because this is Wednesday night. And we can kind of let our hair down, so to speak. And I also wish to speak on this because this is the progression of where Brother Branham's mind was at when he was developing this sermon. And finally, I think that the subject needs to be spoken about because there's somewhat of a contention or a controversy, a controversial issue going on amongst some in the message concerning what we should eat and what we should not eat. Now, the sermon is not about what side of the issue that we should take. This sermon is to show you that this issue is a distraction to the plan of God. And it's being used by the devil to get the people's focus off of the doctrine of Christ and onto other more earthly or fleshly issues. You see, Paul said that in the last time, men would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing doctrines. And what's happening is it's this departure from the faith, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The devil is purposely bringing in other things to distract. And why would he do that? Because our pattern is Christ. We are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. And if we're focused on other things, we're not focused on him. And if we're not focused on him, we won't conform to that image. You see the distraction. Now, Brother Branham rips into hybridization here because when the two life forms mix, or the two seeds mix, the offspring are not genetically capable of reproducing the same life as the original. In other words, the general trait of hybridization is that there are no further generations of offspring. Therefore, the dangers we see is that because there is not real life in the hybrid offspring, then there is no real nutritional value as well in the food chain. A whole lot of puff with very little substance. Now notice he says, today is a great day of hybriding animals, corns, wheat, making a better looking product, but it's no good. It's rotten. It's no life in it. It dies. It cannot reproduce itself. Now, where the controversy has arisen in this message is that there are some who teach that we should not eat meat, any meat, and yet they say nothing about all the hybrid things that are producing death. So some will not eat meat, any meat, while others will eat meat and look down on those who do not. That's where it's at. Now, the argument stems from several quotes, but especially from one in particular. From Brother Graham's sermon, He Cares, Do You Care? Now think about the sermon title. He Cares, Do You Care? That's his title. He gave a warning to the people about the condition of life in the food chain. He said, now what science has brought to us, now you may be shocked just a moment. Science has brought to us sickness, death, and disease. Now you've only been taught one side of the picture. But there's two sides to it. You say science has invented this and that and the other. Well, we're going to grant you that privilege. But let's look at the other side. Science has brought us sickness. Science has brought us disease and death. Look, scientific hybriding has brought death to a generation of foods and things. Now, it's interesting that the people that did the typesetting of the sermon had actually put a comma after a generation. So it looked like you're reading, Brother Branham says, that science has brought death to a generation. But he doesn't say that. He said a generation of foods and things. It's got the people so soft, and so until the men and women are made up out of a bunch of muck and there's no structure in it. It's become a bunch of soft jellyfish. They can't live without an air conditioner. They perish. They can't play a baseball game. If one of them gets tapped somewhere, it'll kill him in the boxing ring and whatever more. And it's so soft till men and women, well, it's perverting them. And they're injecting this hybrid into cattle, which has come back into mankind now, according to science themselves, and is making perversions out of them. Because when a cow is hybrid or any food is hybrid, that food makes blood cells. And blood cells is your life. You see what it's done? And then into meat, they inject these here injections into the meat. And now it's proved that these injections take effect upon the human race. Scientific. They spray the fields with DDT, I seen the other day. And now we got 800 people sick, people in the community from eating eggs. Do you remember years ago when I first began, when we had the little bitty structure here, and I was prophesying, and I said, it shall come to pass in the last days, don't live in the valley and don't eat eggs. I've got it on my books. I thought there was something about that, and I went and I looked at it. Don't eat eggs. Now, that doesn't sound like a suggestion to me. It sounds like, command. That was way back in 1933. Eggs has got something in them now. And I see where science says that a man over 50 years old should never eat an egg, because it's the hardest thing on the heart that man can be eaten. And diseases. Milk. It used to be our most balanced diet was milk. The doctor will tell you, stay away from it. It's making sinus and everything else. It's the same human being that used to drink it and live for years and never know sinus. But the interbreeding and so forth has broken down the structure of the human being till it's nothing but just a bunch of muck, a ball of sickness. And what done it? Science. Now look, it caused the genes between the man and the woman to weaken. The physical weakness of the human being through the genes and the increase of spastic children is around 30%. Mongoloid is on the great climb. And these weaknesses of interbreeding of the foods that we're eating for life, it's weakening the body, which causes cancer, mental troubles, and all kinds of diseases is setting in upon the human body because its weakness. Scientific, destroying themselves, getting away from God's plan. He said, let every seed bring forth of its kind. You see where we're at? I could go on and on, but our time's getting away. But notice, what's that doing it? Science has brought death, sickness, and destruction. And I seen the other day, I was talking to my good friend Dr. Vail sitting here, that where there's an article that people are getting killed by penicillin. It really isn't the penicillin, it's the filth that they let get into it when they're manufacturing the penicillin. It's a money-making greed scheme. Doctors giving it something who don't even know the formula of an aspirin. And their father sends them away to get a specialist in something or another and don't know even how to care for a tummy ache for a child. But what have we got? It's greed. Some poll or a little something, they don't have hardly any more of the old-fashioned country doctor that used to get down and talk to you and console you and do everything. They leave God right out of the picture because they went after their own way. In order to get God out of the picture, they explained him away. There we are. That's what we've done by hybriding. You see, the body, what makes a healthy plant, a germ can hardly get to it? It's these hotbed plants, these hybrid plants, that you have to keep sprayed all the time. And many of you have read my message on hybrid religion. Keep it sprayed and babied and so forth. Notice, but the real genuine plant, don't have to be sprayed. He's original. What makes diseases come to the human body is the body. As I'm told by a precious doctor friend of mine that I wouldn't want to call his name right now, but he's a very fine brother, reading to me recently out of the medical journal, a book in his office where he keeps all these fine books and the latest stuff on medicine, but it's weakness. You notice anybody that's real, you say your body's run down, you take a cold right quick. What is it? It's the weakness of your body that produces a mucus out of your gland. And in that, the cold germ beds itself and you got a cold. But if that body was strong, it would throw away that cold germ. It couldn't touch it. So you see, when God constructed a man in the first place, he was immune from any disease, see? But unbelief in science and education was the first thing that took man away from God, and it's still taking him away. Now, some read this as though Brother Branham is warning the people not to eat meat. And I know where they're coming from because the way they process meat today. But the way they process everything, you have to be careful. But I do not believe that Brother Branham is talking here about not eating meat. What I believe Brother Branham is talking about is, where is your focus at? Brother Branham tells us that the danger lies in that all the hybridization of foods, what it's doing to the human race, but he does not tell us not to eat it. What he is telling us here is that every time man thinks that he can improve on the way that God has done something, it only ends in death and destruction. This is not the Holy Spirit warning the church not to eat certain foods. This is a prophet showing us what the original is versus what man has done to it. Now, from his sermon, Questions and Answers, Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, Brother Branham, he says, Brother Branham, when you prophesied way back about won't eat eggs, don't live in the valley, was that prophecy just for you or for your congregation? All right, well, years ago, about 30 years ago, I gave a prophecy that it would come to pass that in the last days that there would be diseases amongst animals, amongst cattle, and even to eggs. And it come to pass that there'd be eggs that wouldn't be fit to eat. Also, it would come to pass that people living in valleys. Now remember, I prophesied that way back 30 years ago that it would come to pass that people living in valleys, that I'd ask the Christians to move from the valleys. And that they're not to eat different meats and things like that. It would be poison. Well, it'd be dangerous. I believe the way that I had it for people to live in valleys. Now, that was before that they had fallout or knowed anything about fallout. But that was the Holy Spirit warning me. And right now, even to our cattle, you see them off the markets being sprayed by DDT, has set up something in the cow. Notice again, all this hybriding stuff and things that they're doing is absolutely decaying the human race. 30%, 20%, or 30%, Reader's Digest said, of the patients in the hospital is put in there because of the doctors. They'll give you a medicine to knock this out of you, and it sets up something else over here. And did you notice eggs? Last year, hundreds of cases in Louisville and Jeffersonville fell sick and was hospitalized from vomiting from eating eggs at the chicken in the valley here. The eggs out of the valley picked up fallout and the poison in weeds and so forth. Everything is contaminated. Everything is contaminated. But here's where you get it, my brother. Now, I want you to listen to this. Because he just tells us everything is contaminated. Milk, eggs, meat, corn, wheat. Everything, because of fallout, it doesn't matter. Unless you're hydroponically growing it in some place that you can vent the air and vent the water and everything else, it's perverted. It's polluted. He said everything is contaminated. But here is where you get it, my brother. I believe with all my heart that it's written in the Scripture that no food should be received without it being received with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. See, if you eat it, say, Lord Jesus, you prepared the food for me. Now with faith I sanctify this food to the strength of our bodies. Then eat it, for in all that we do is by faith. So what we see is that although the warning was given by the Holy Spirit that these diseases and hybridization processes would be here in the last days, yet it will be so wide scale that it will affect everything that you eat and even the medicines that you take. So what does Brother Branham say? He said, but here's where you get it, my brother. I believe with all my heart that it's written in the Scripture that no food should be received without thanksgiving, but it should be received in thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the Word of God in prayer. See, if you eat it, Lord Jesus, you prepared the food for me. Now with faith I sanctify this food to the strength of our bodies. Then eat it, for in all that we do is by faith. Brother Branham is quoting someone here, and he's quoting the Apostle Paul. Now I want you to notice that he says we should eat it. But just make sure that you pray over it. If we are to avoid everything that he mentions in these and many other quotes on the subject, we would not eat meat, We would not eat eggs. We would not eat fish. We would not eat corn. We would not eat wheat. We would not eat all the other vegetables due to the fallout. Nor should we drink milk or even water, because all the stuff that's put into it. From Wisdom versus Faith, Brother Brown says, the earth itself is a womb. Where did God place his seeds? Where are seeds put? In a womb. God puts the seeds. And what does man do? Like devils in a womb, he'll make a child deformed if he can. That's what devils has done on the earth, hybriding, making creatures. That's not so. I'd better leave off on that. I'll never get to the rest of this here that I got wrote down. But you know what I mean. That's the reason it is a deformed creation about to be cast. God's finished with it. The world's all out of order. Everything's wrong. The streams are polluted. The air's polluted. Filth and stink. So what do? It's not just the meat, not just the eggs, not just the milk, not just the corn, not just the wheat, not just rice, not just vegetables. It's your drinking water. It's the air you breathe. It's all ready for the burning. So even the air we breathe is causing people to suffer with cancer and emphysema and all these other bronchial and respiratory conditions. So what is it? It's Satan's Eden. And it shows us that all life is just ready for the burning. Now, we all know that Alpha must repeat in Omega. So what took place in the Alpha must be taking place again in the Omega. From the masterpiece, Brother Branham said, all true life that was in the stalk, tassel, and husk is now gathering in the seed. It's ready for the resurrection, ready for the harvest. The Alpha has become Omega. The first has become the last, and the last is the first. The seed that went in has come through a process of becoming the seed again. Therefore, if we can see something pop its head up in the church as a problem in the Alpha, then we know it wants to repeat itself again in the Omega. Then if we want to know how to deal with it in our day, we must look back at how the Apostle Paul dealt with it in his day. So let's turn in our Bibles this evening to Romans chapter 14. And I'm going to read you from the New International Version because the wording is just so good and appropriate for this hour. Romans 14 and verse 1. Paul says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. In other words, the Apostle Paul is telling us here that there's going to be disputations taking place. And Paul is not telling us what side of the disputation to take sides with. He's telling us how to handle the disputation. Notice verse 2. One man's faith allows him to eat everything. But another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. So immediately you think, well, you see, their faith is weak. They eat only vegetables. And what does that do to you? You look down on them. And you say, you know, they're not very mature. They've got weak faith. But notice Paul's not saying that. But this is where we're at today. One says only vegetables. The other says anything goes. And the problem is that both sides of the issue are passionate about what they believe. But notice where Paul takes this argument. He does not take sides with one or the other, but rather he cautions the believers to be careful how they handle their own personal feelings on these issues. So he says, verse 3, the man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. You see, Paul's pointing at your attitude. Don't be looking down at those people who don't want to eat meat. And he says, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. And so we see people, they say, well, you're not too spiritual because you're not taking the prophet's warning. And you're eating meat. And Brother Brown says, no, don't you condemn those that eat meat. That's what Paul's saying. And he says, and you that do eat, Don't you be looking down your nose at those people as though they're weak Christians. You see, God has allowed something to happen in the church today to get people's eyes off the doctrine. It's an issue that affects every life. And because it is an issue that affects every life, because the food is polluted. But God is not looking at whether you do or whether you don't. He's looking at your attitude toward those who do not side with the way that you side. So we have two opposing views on the subject of eating meat in the early church, Alpha, and we have the same thing in Omega. But Paul's warning is not that they should not eat or that they should eat. His warning is, what are you doing with what you believe? And how is it affecting the operation of the Holy Spirit in your midst? Now remember, the Holy Spirit came down as a dove and would only come down upon a lamb's nature, because the dove and the lamb have the same nature. So this is where Paul takes this issue and really any other issue that would separate the church. Now years ago in 1979, Brother Vail told me about a Baptist church that split because one part said that you must eat sugar only. Or you can eat sugar or anything you want. The other one said, no, only honey, no sugar. And he said they actually split and they laughed about it. About how people could be so carnal as to split over what they eat, and yet the same thing is happening today in this message. Now, when an issue can affect a group of people like that, it shows that they're not focused on the doctrine of Christ and they have deviated from the truth. If they were with me in the trenches all around the world, they wouldn't have time to talk about diet. You're thankful for whatever food you can get in those places. And it's sanctified by the Word of God in prayer. Notice what Paul says here to those who are judging and condemning, or those who are just looking down their nose at the others. He says, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his master, to his own master, he stands or he falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than the other. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. And that's just it. You must be fully convinced in your own mind, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And if you don't eat by faith, Paul said it's sin. Whatever you do, it must be by faith. Verse 6. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. You see? He does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord. For he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. So both have the same motive. They're wanting to do what's right in the Lord. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord, both of the dead and the living. You see, the church had left Christ out of the picture altogether. And they had left their first love. Remember, Ephesus means relaxed and drifting. And they left their first love. And this is an admonition to the church of the Ephesians, or the Ephesian church age. They had left their first love, which is the doctrine of Christ. And they got to looking at the carnal issues. What are we eating? What are you eating? What is she wearing? How women do? Oh, you know, it's funny how women can tell you what a person wore a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I can't even tell you what I wore this morning. You see, the church had left Christ out of the picture altogether. They lost their focus. Then Paul says in verse 10, you then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. So Paul is saying, look, people, get focused and quit looking down on each other and being so judgmental with each other. Just make sure that your motives are right and all will work out in the end, because all things work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Then he says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your own mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Now, this is very important what he says here. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean of itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it's unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. So if you eat your hamburger in front of your brother who doesn't believe in eating meat, you're taunting him, and you're not doing that in love. And if you say, well, you know, if they can put pressure on me not to do a certain thing, why can't I put pressure on them to do it? You see, where's your love? They will have to answer for what they do. You will have to answer for what you do. It's not a matter of what you do or don't do. It's a matter of your motive behind it. You see what Paul is saying? But if anyone regards something as unclean, for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good, that's your meat or whatever, to be spoken evil of. In other words, don't give an occasion for them to throw, you know, don't cast your pearls before swine. And I'm not saying people are swine that disagree with you. What I'm saying is, look, don't give them an occasion to speak evil of something that you do. So it all comes down to love, doesn't it? If I do something that is hard for my brothers and sisters to understand why I'm doing it, then I will not do it. At least I won't do it in their presence. Years ago, I had to face this issue firsthand when I attended a church where the people were very young, very spiritually immature in the Lord, because they were not being fed any doctrine. They were being fed relationship. Well, back then I wore clogs because I liked the way that they felt on my feet. One day the pastor's wife came to me and she was offended. She said, I'm really offended because your brother, you're wearing that which pertains to a woman. You're wearing women's clogs. And I said, sister, I said, if you understood the creation of clogs, they were created in Scandinavia. And in Scandinavia, where they created the clogs, women have a back on their clogs. Men do not have a back on their clogs. Men have an open back on their clogs. And actually, the clogs that you are wearing are men's clogs in Scandinavia, where they were made and originated. But I said, sister, if it offends you that I wear these clogs, I won't wear these clogs. And I got rid of my clogs. Because that's what the Holy Spirit says we should do. You say, well, that's a little bit of a sacrifice on my part. That's right. That's right. I'm crucified. Yep. I'm crucified with Christ. It's a sacrifice. But why was Jesus crucified? Because there's no greater love that a man can give than he lay down his life for a brother. It's all about love. It's all about our attitude. You see, it is the weak Christian who cannot make room for others being different from them. But the mature believer says, God does not look at every detail in your life. He looks upon the condition of your heart. And so it should be with us. Finally, Paul says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Eating and drinking has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. But he says it is of righteousness, right wiseness, having a right understanding. It is peace and it is joy in the Lord. Now we could take a complete sermon on these three things. And perhaps someday we might. But then Paul says, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. So what does the word mutual edification mean? It means doing that which is uplifting to everyone and keeping peace with all. Finally, Paul says, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. And that's what's being done. Food has become a divisive issue, destroying the very reputation and the very ministry that preaches the true doctrine of Christ. He said, all food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep them between yourself and God. I'm still reading what Paul said. Whatever you believe about these things, he says, keep them between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. It's unbelief. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we ask you, Father, to help us, Lord, to have the right attitude. Never, ever to pressure someone into doing things the way we want them done. But rather, Father, giving room that every flower in your field can be different. Can look different, smell different. Can sway in the breeze different. May we truly understand that you are a God of variety. And to him that eateth and has no condemnation in what he eats, it is not sin. For there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Help us, Father, then, not to get out from Christ, not to deviate from the doctrine, not to take our focus away onto things, foods, clothings. But help us, Father, to keep our focus on the doctrine of Christ. Then the attitude that was in Christ will be in us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. God bless you all.